Good to be here, Oisin.
Listen, it's already been a hectic start to the campaign for both Van Harps and Derry. So we might actually start with Derry because a lot of change, obviously, since last year. They were seen as title contenders, and already in the Premier Division decade, Derry City very much on the back foot. Just 1-1 out of four games, defeat to St Pat's earlier this week. It's not the start of the season I'm sure that the Derry supporters or those involved in the club were hoping for.
No, I would think so. You know, obviously, Tiernan comes in and, you know, brings a lot of new players, new management as well, obviously. You know, so that brings that expectation that things are going to be really good. And a lot of players signed, a lot of experienced players and ex-international signed as well. So that was always, you know, you weren't sure how that was going to go. Listen, as early days yet in regards to they only played four matches or so. So it was very, very early. But as it was going by current form, it hasn't been a great start by them. And the performances have been mixed. I know they played reasonably well against St Pat's and a couple of decisions once against them with two penalty kicks and also getting the man sent off. So that didn't help, you know. And they're playing Galway this weekend, which will be a difficult match at home. But they're hoping that maybe they can turn their form around and get a result and maybe kickstart the season. You know, they're ready. Obviously, beat Bowes 1-0 at home. So hopefully now they might turn that away form that hasn't been good and their home form to turn that around and be better. So, yeah, listen, I suppose the problem you have, I think, with so many players coming in, that don't know the league and the coaching staff that don't know all the teams they're playing against, and it takes a wee bit of time to bed them all in to get that continuity. But you're hopeful that with the quality of players they do have at their disposal, that they'll come good.
Galway are providing the opposition for them at the weekend, and no doubt Ollie Horgan, of course, who's been very much doing the interviews this week, obviously due to John Coffey just maybe stepping away for a couple of matches following a bereavement. But there's no doubt that they'll be well set up, so they will go away on Friday night and they'll be hard to break down.
Definitely. That's the one thing that you're going to get against Galway. I think Galway as well last year, I think that they definitely got one victory up in the Brandywell Ryan McBride Stadium. So, yeah, listen, this Galway are so hard to play against in regards to, you know, stubborn. They make things very awkward, very, very good defensively, don't concede too many goals. Very good at set plays because they're quite a big physical team. Typical Caulfield and Ollie's kind of team. And they make things very, very difficult for you. And it'll be very stubborn performance you're going to get from Galway. You know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a very, very good organised performance. And they will probably score goals as well. So yeah. Derry are probably going to have to go and score two or three.
Can you see them scoring two or three?
Yeah, that's the problem that you're going to have, Wee, but you know, so I mean, they do have the firepower. It's just at the minute, it's just not clicking. And listen, these kind of games, it might click into gear for them, you know, so you're hoping that somewhere along the line it'll turn a wee bit for them. I know we made a few changes at the weekend as well. So they do have good quality, you know, up top. It just hasn't happened for them at the minute. But maybe this is the opportunity against Galway. It'll not be easy, but maybe this is an opportunity to get 3 points and kickstart their season.
It's a big night for them because they've got two away games against Sligo and against Shamrock Rovers. Sligo obviously won the first game of the season recently. Shamrock Rovers are in badly need of a win as well. So if you're going to both of those places in the weeks to come, you could say that the match on Friday for Derry is particularly a big one.
I think so. At this stage, you know, and you mentioned Shamrock Rovers, they're obviously in 1 point, so they've got they're playing St Pat's the weekend, so that's going to be a difficult one for them. And they don't want to lose, obviously, to St Pat's or concede many more points to Shelburne, who could potentially go 10 points ahead if they won at the weekend, and Shamrock Rovers don't. But going back to the Derry question, yeah, listen, Derry's recent results against Sligo Rovers haven't been good. They've got results, obviously, against Shamrock Rovers, previously mostly draws. But so it'll not be easy for them, those two away matches, and any games in the League of Ireland, the away matches are very, very difficult. So it's so important, I would say even imperative, that they actually get 3 points against Galway.
Yeah. The other matches, as you said, Shamrock Rovers against St Patrick's Athletic. I know it's early doors of the season. Both of these two were seen as title contenders. So they'll be looking to make a statement, I think more so Rovers, since they haven't won this year.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I had the game, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. And Shamrock Rovers played reasonably well. They had a lot of possession. They just lacked that wee bit of cutting edge up top. Graham Burke came on and scored, and he'd given them a wee bit of energy, you know. So the do have players on the bench that can change the game. Sligo overscored from two set plays. Now, it wasn't a classic game, far from it. The pitch wasn't great. It was a bit bumpy. But Shamrock Rovers did play reasonably well, kept good possession. But I just thought they lacked a wee bit of cutting edge. St. Pat's under Stephen Kenny, they're completely different. They're scoring free. I know they scored two, obviously, penalties against Derry City, but they're top end of the pitch, they've got some smashing players. And on top of that, they can go out to three top players and put in three more that are as good. So the quality is really, really good. So that's going to be a really interesting one. As I said earlier, Shamrock Rovers need to be really careful because if they lose that game, they could go potentially 10 points behind Shelburne with only a small amount of games played. And that's a big, big, you know, that's a lot of distance between them and Shelburne at this early stages.
Yep. As we mentioned, Sligo Rovers won the last night against Shamrock Rovers. They go to Cork City. Another good result there would be going in the right direction for the bit of red because they were shaky, so they were in their opening three matches, Dick.
Yeah, they have. You know, they conceded 10 goals. You know, that's what they conceded. So they haven't been good. There was a big result just to get them up and running. There were no points, obviously, up until that, you know. So it was a big match for Sligo against Shamrock Rovers. They got over the line. You know, it wasn't a vintage performance, as I said earlier there, but they got 3 points. They have a really difficult match now going to Cork City. Cork have started really well. And to teams that you're thinking they'll be down near the relegation zone, the Drogheda's, you know, the Galways, the Waterfords, they've started really well. And the other teams you're expecting that potentially could be down near the relegations area, but they've all started really well. So that's, you know, that brings extra pressure for Cork and for Sligo Rovers as well. So listen, it's very, very early, you know, but after 7 or 8 matches, you get an idea where clubs are and the movement don't change too much. If you're up near the top, you'll probably stay up near the top. If you're down near the bottom after that 8 or 9 matches, that's where they normally end up. So it's a big match, obviously, for Sligo Rovers going the whole way to Cork. And the recent match they played against Cork down in Turner's Cross hasn't been good results-wise. So it's a big, big match for both clubs. And also Cork have been firing. You know, they've got top players up at the top end of the pitch can score goals. And
yeah, Sligo have 2 big games after Derry City and also taking on Shelburne, but both of those games are at home. Can Drogheda United stay up on the top half of the table, Decky? They've got a big game against the champion Shelburne and probably on form this weekend. It's probably the game of Friday night. Both teams have 1-2 and drawn 2, set a point off Waterford.
Yeah.
But back to what I said first of all, can Drogheda get a result there at Tolka Park and be seen as a top 4 team?
Yeah, they've obviously played early in the season in the President Cup, you know, so Shelburne came on top that thing. I think they were quite strong as well and good performance. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at Waterford 9 points and Drogheda 8, you know, so and Shelburne just below them and together with Drogheda 8 points. So I'm expecting Shelburne with the quality they have at their disposal that they'll beat Drogheda. It'll be tough. Drogheda are really, really tough to play against. They've went professional this year. This is the first time they've went professionally. Kevin Doherty's done an excellent job. Really, really good job. Won the cup, obviously. They're in Europe this year, which is added bonus. They've brought in better quality players. They've gone full-time as well to match everybody else in the league. So they can sustain it. Will they or not? I'm not 100% sure. They have enough quality. Going to Drogheda has been a difficult place for most clubs. I know Sligo went up there recently and didn't get a result and were well beaten on the night. But can Drogheda stay in that position? I think that they won't. I think it's just too much for them, but they definitely can cause problems and they'll probably end up, if they keep going the way they're going, obviously they end up middle of the table.
Yeah, well, they're a lot better position at the start of this year than what they were at the start of last year. One other fixture, Waterford against Bohemians. Are Waterford a team that can stay in the top 3, Decky?
Yeah, I don't think so.
They are, what is it, 3-1s, 1 defeat, leading the way?
I tipped Bose. I thought Bose would have a good season. They haven't started so well. So who's to know? Like Waterford, yeah, listen, obviously the first match of the season, I watched them up in the Showgrounds against Sligo Rovers. Now Sligo missed a penalty and probably should have got something out of the game if not won it. Then Waterford, then you're thinking good first half performance. What I have seen of them, Lonigan up top, Patrick Almond, Noonan is the young lad. He's been excellent. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers. Really, really good. Great mobility, stretch the play. You know, on the counter attack, really good. Almond leading the line as well, and he's obviously in twilight years, but he's been excellent. Scored the weekend as well. So he's been, you know, the three of them have been excellent. They defended well in numbers, and they went, obviously, I didn't expect them to go up to the Ryan McBride Stadium, Brannywell, and get 3 points. They did there as well. So they've been really well. 3-1s, 1-1 loss. You know, so they've been excellent. Really good start for them. You know, so you're expecting them to at least get something out of the game against Bowes.
Okay. Let's go to the First Division. UCD are hosting Finn Harps on Friday night at the Belfield Bowl in Dublin. We will, of course, have live updates from this game. We're going to send Chris Ashmore to the Capital at the weekend. Kickoff is at 7:45, and we'll keep you abreast of the action here on Highland from that one in association with BNS Credit Union Main Street in Ballybuffet. But going into the game, Harps are the only side in the First Division, Declan, without a point on the board. Three games played, three defeats. Is there early pressure already on this young Harps side?
I suppose, listen, the expectation probably wasn't too high at the start of the season, considering it was a young team, a young experienced team. You know, they do have a couple of lads with experience, obviously, down the spine. And the squad isn't the biggest. So, listen, I know I'd also throw on the play Kerry away. They played 3D away. The performance against Dundalk at home, I thought, in Finn Park was really good. Very positive performance. Unlucky they didn't get something out of that game. Going to UCD, obviously, we haven't played well there. We know how good UCD are. Wally O'Connor's the manager, and he's done a good job up there. They have real quality players. You know, Ronan Finn's up there, obviously, and they've Mikey McCulloch and Enoch Lansing as well as up there from Leitrim. They've got really good players, can hurt you. They've only played two games, you know, so they're... So far, they have obviously one game against Bray wasn't on, so usually it's going to be a difficult match for Finn Harps to go up there and get something out of the game. Can they go up there and get a draw? Potentially. Scoring goals has been a big problem for us. So that will probably be our Achilles heel throughout the whole season. But what you're going to get of young players is you're going to get games where we're very good and then games where we're not so good, and that's where the experience come into it. But difficult start for Finn Harps, and we need to our next home game to get off to a one. But it's been a difficult start in regards to away to Kerry first match, you know, Dundalk 3D and away to UCD. And so your first four matches, you've three away.
Yeah, and they played well in that home game against Dundalk, and after this weekend, there's home matches to come against Cove and Bray. So even if they can get something out of the match on Friday night, it will be a nice wee springboard going into back-to-back home fixture.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a draw up against UCD and a good performance, that brings that energy back into Finn Park for the following two matches. Bray obviously got a result there last year, that one of the last games of the season. Cove, we know how strong they will be. They won't be easy games, but you know, the commitment was shown and they worked really well, and the attitude was so good against Dundalk. If they can repeat those kind of performances, I can see them getting three, you know, one or more games at home than they did last season, and that's the key. And it really is about performing well in front of your home supporters and making that a fortress, and that's always the hard part. But not a great start for Harps. The fixtures haven't been kind to them, but hopefully they can kickstart it again with a good result up in UCD, and then obviously UCD, two big home games coming up after that.
The other First Division fixtures, Cove Ramblers against Longford Town, Wexford are playing Athlone Town, Kerry meet Bray Wanderers, and two of the top three are meeting as well this weekend. The leaders, Dundalk, are up against Treaty United, who joined second on the table with Wexford, 3 points off Dundalk, and that probably is the game of Friday night in the First Division. Just staying on League of Ireland matters, Declan, and I see this week that Buncrana Hearts have expressed an interest to join the new League of Ireland third tier. So from this region, that would be Letterkenny Rovers, Bunnygee United, Cockhill Celtic, and now Buncrana Hearts, who have all sort of expressed an interest. It's understood there's about 67 clubs who have sent in applications for the new tier. It's going to be split north and south. There is going to be promotion into the First Division, which means there's going to be relegation as well. Yeah. It seems to be from the first down into the third tier. What's your take on this? Is this the right direction to go for the League of Ireland and maybe for standards of football to increase in certain areas?
Yeah, listen, I suppose it's hard to know at the minute, like exactly how it's going to pan out. What's the rules, and you know, how's it going to be licensed and all that. But I'm presuming it's probably similar to the First Division, the way it'll be licensed. You know, you got to put in an application. It'll come down to being audited in regards to, you know, the facilities you have available. It'll be marked off that, I would think. You know, budgets will have to be approved, and there's going to be a lot of stuff like that I wouldn't be, you know, on the governance side, I wouldn't know too much about it regarding regulation. You're looking at, it's great to see the four clubs from Donegal are interested in getting involved. That tells you that, you know, that they're ambitious and they want to get involved. Will that happen? Will the four clubs? I doubt it to be four clubs. I would think, in my own opinion, that maybe two clubs might get in. So it'll be two out of four, and that'll be obviously down to facilities and what's available, obviously, and the clubs. And then obviously the governance side of things need to be looked at as well. Financially, it's a big onus on clubs, and I agree with the North and the South, because just the travelling aspect of it, you know. And it's my fear would be that it's great the first couple of years when everybody loves it and it's new and it's, you know, it's bright and it's shiny and it looks the part. But, you know, after 5 or 6 years when you're paying out maybe a lot more money than you previously did, you know, can that be sustained long term? That's my own fear. It's probably good that the fact that there's an opportunity for teams to go up into the first division, that are ambitious, they can go and do that. So they get an opportunity to play that smaller tier, the third tier, but with a view moving up. I think that puts extra pressure on the first division clubs, because they don't want to be relegated down to that tier. So that'll be an interesting one, you know, and how that'll work out. So it's probably good because it's promoting the game around the country. You know, 10 years ago, we never thought that Kerry would be involved in the League of Ireland, and Kerry's involved, and they have seemingly good financial muscle as well behind them this year, accordingly. So, you know, it's good to see the game being brought around to different parts of the country, as I said. But also, what you do is the game and the numbers has increased. You look at all the Premier Division matches, the numbers, the attendances, or records are up. You know, there's 4,000 on a Monday night, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers. Like, that's, you know, for a Monday night. Like, so everywhere you go, so the crowds are up in the Premier League, and that's what you want. And can we get more people involved? It also means, for me, on the academy side, you're going to have more players playing League of Ireland at a younger age. You know, we have Noonan there playing for Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. Excellent. You know, you have other Noonan that's playing for Waterford as well. Brilliant. You know, so there's players coming through now playing 16 and 17 years of age, getting an opportunity to play against in the professional league with a view of going across the water when they're 18 years of age. And, you know, we looked at St. Pat's player, Mason Mealy, is going across to England, is over €1 million. Yeah. You know, so that's all good, because that means that money's been reinvested back into the League of Ireland, and it was all positive. So I know it's very easy sometimes to look at things on a negative, but I think it's a positive move for the League of Ireland clubs and for the FAI.
Okay. Just finally, one other positive note. Obviously, you're the CEO of the Donegal Sports Partnership, Declan, and this week it was firmed up that the partnership has been awarded over €430,000, which is hugely important.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. Delighted, obviously, to get that funding from Sport Ireland. It's an opportunity, obviously, to, you know, develop sport participation in the county. Majority of that funding does go towards core salaries and keeping the staff. We have 11 staff in Donegal Sports Partnership, so you know, that keeps people in jobs, but also programs funding on top of that. But, you know, we also have other program funding that we apply throughout the whole year. Dormant accounts is another big fund that we get from Sport Ireland. So delighted to have that funding. It keeps the show on the road, and it keeps people in jobs. But more importantly, it is about increasing participation in Donegal, and that's our core aim.
Listen, Declan, many thanks for joining us this evening on The Score. Thanks for dropping in. And enjoy the football at the weekend, and continued success with your role in the sports partnership.
Thanks to me, Oisin.